So to sum up, Matthew's a complete and fucking total idiot.
Yes.
And Ryan is a jerk face McJerkerson.
Yep.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Error Report for the week of August the 5th. We're in the month of August. I'm Clint Princess here, joined with Evan Tognati.
Yeah.
And party. We seem to be the only ones who like podcasting anymore.
Party.
Party. Woo. The two most... It's weird because, like, we're a lot alike, and then we're a lot not alike. We are very much
dislike. We're very much alike until we disagree,
and then it's just
polar opposites.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
it's weird.
Just bloodshed.
Is it weird? It's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
Like, we have a lot of similar taste, but then also, like, you're really mellow. You're really chillaxed. I'm kind of
got to say chillaxed.
Exactly.
See, here's one of these flip points. Fuck you and fuck everything you stand for.
See, I mean,
it's like there's a Venn diagram, but the overlap is really huge, and then they're just like these awful slivers on the left and right side where we disagree.
Yeah. But they're, yeah. But they're like the worst part. It's like World War I trenches levels of bad. Like,
oh yeah,
that is how bad it gets whenever there are disconnects between us.
Oh man, brutal.
Oh, but it's
how about we start by talking about the works of Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah, sure.
Just hit the ground running here.
No, I've actually been watching all of the Batman movies.
You've been Batmaning it?
I've been Batmaning it. And let me tell you, I do not like Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, she's not very good.
No. And I listened to a podcast today where somebody said, I love Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, and Anne Hathaway really didn't do it for me.
Yeah, that's untrue.
Michelle Pfeiffer is kind of terrible.
Yeah, Anne Hathaway's a lot better.
So is Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito's fine.
Yeah, ugh.
He's fine.
I got a problem with him. But Christopher Walken. I don't think there's anything that Christopher Walken has been in that has been bad.
Oh, boy. Let me tell you something. He has been in a lot of bad movies.
I don't know, dude. I mean, he's been in some pretty awesome movies.
And therefore he's been in no bad movies?
Yeah. I mean,
so you're committed to the idea that the 2007 comedy Balls of Fury
is fantastic.
It's a fantastic movie.
I saw that in theaters. I just remembered
too.
That I saw that in theaters.
I saw that movie in theaters.
Man, that was a weird year.
2007?
I hated that year. Yeah, I don't like that year at all.
2007 had No Country for Old Men, There Will Be Blood, Zodiac.
I'm not saying in movies. I mean, in my life, I hated that year. I hated that I went to see Balls of Fury with friends in 2007.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But I didn't enjoy it. I'll tell you that much. I did not enjoy it.
Good for you.
Yep.
Did you go see Hairspray in 2007 with Christopher Walken?
Yes. And I did enjoy that.
That's a movie.
No, I actually didn't like that.
Click.
I kind of enjoyed Click. I thought it was a little long, though.
Never seen it.
Oh, you would hate it.
I'm sure I would.
It's
why I haven't seen it.
Yeah, you'd really hate it. Mm-hmm. I bet you if I went back to it now, I'd hate the fuck out of it. So. Do you know that Christopher Walken was also in True Crime Streets of L.A.?
I didn't know that.
Well, there you go.
that game's not great.
Are you sure?
As I recall.
Are you sure?
I recall it being less than great.
He's also in Privateer 2, The Darkening.
The Darkening?
Yeah. It's got...
That's a great subtitle for a movie.
No. This is a video game.
Oh.
Yeah. Even better for a video game.
What the fuck is Privateer?
So, here
we go.
And
why does it have a sequel?
Okay, so I just found a sequel, or I found a summary for it. So, Sir Lev Aris wakes up in a hospital on planet Cyrus and has no idea who he is and where he's coming from. He is told by a doctor that he's been frozen for 10 or more years ago because he had a disease which was not curable then, and that his starship crashed shortly after arriving at Cirrus Starport. As he recovers in the hospital, still without any memory, he is hijacked by two men in dark uniforms and put on a starship where he loses consciousness. When he wakes up again, he finds himself to be on the planet Hermes. An adventure to find out about his roots begins. I think it's an FMV game.
Oh, man. Oh,
I gotta play this. I gotta find this. No, as it turns out, it doesn't look like it from the, screenshots. It looks like a flight combat game.
I see.
Yeah.
Like an X-Wing thing, first person?
Oh, nope, it's totally an FMV game. Here is a picture of the, glorious Clive Owen.
Clive Owen?
Clive Owen is in Privateer 2, The Darkening.
What?
Yep.
What?
I know. It's
Christopher Walken was in, like, a couple FMV games.
Oh, what was that one that was like a police?
That was a Ripper.
Yeah, Ripper. That
was
great.
In Ripper.
That was great.
That was not decidedly not great.
I said that in, like, my sarcastic. Funny, like, I liked it because it was funny tone.
Was that tone? Because that's just sort of how you sound all the time.
Ripper. How great is that? It's about Jack the Ripper, isn't it? It's a modern interpretation of the Ripper legend.
It's actually where you accidentally stole your short from.
Yeah, it is where I stole my short from. Let's be honest here.
You were playing Ripper, and you were like, there's potential here.
Burgess Meredith was in that. So it's definitely
also,
good.
How dare you say Burgess Meredith is a better penguin than Danny DeVito?
Hey.
I'm not claiming Danny DeVito is a great penguin.
Burgess Meredith, all right?
Yeah.
He's a good penguin. He goes, wah, 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 wah.
So does Danny DeVito, wah, wah. I'm sure.
No, he doesn't, actually.
No?
No, he just bites some dude's nose off and eats a fish. I'll tell you what, that is a disgusting movie.
Yeah. It's pretty,
gross.
Pretty gross.
Yeah.
That's the one... That's right, that is the crazy thing where he straps bombs to all of the penguins.
Yeah, and every single action scene takes place on the same set, just like flipped around.
And Christopher Walken's in that cage.
Yep.
Yeah, that movie's coming back to me.
Yeah, and then Batman usually fights with his car instead of his fists.
Mm-hmm.
And he blows up some dudes, and then he tosses some, like, dynamite to a guy, and then pushes him into the water whenever the water blows up. And he dies too. And...
So here's the ultimate question. Batman Returns or The Dark Knight Rises?
Well, Batman Returns has a lot more Batman in it.
Is that your only qualifier?
No, I actually think that... I do not like Batman Returns.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like Batman.
You are a majority of people.
I like Batman. But I don't like Batman Returns.
I think Batman's probably the best Batman movie.
I think Batman is the second best Batman movie.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the third best.
Yeah, right after Batman and Robin and Batman 60s.
Batman 60s is number one, and it will stay that way forever. Right. I was fluctuating between Batman and Dark Knight, because Dark Knight's pretty cool.
Dark Knight is pretty cool. It's got a lot of bullshit in it, though.
Sure, yeah. But, I mean, it's also pretty cool. But also, Batman Begins, I think, is the best Batman movie of the Nolan trilogy.
Nah.
So...
No,
I mean, if you really think about it, Batman Begins is really, like, a really...
It's the only one that is a Batman movie. Yeah. I find it a little deceitful to say it's the best, because it kind of has to be.
Well, like, okay, so I think you don't really remember Batman Begins all that well.
That's possible.
Because, I mean, I remember
not liking a lot of stuff in it, though.
I watched it not too long ago, and it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
doesn't he just straight up kill Ra's al Ghul? He says some bullshit about how, you know.
He says, I think I'm going to do a direct quote here. He's like, I'm not going to kill you, but that doesn't mean I have to save you.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
right.
And then the monorail crashes and kills Ra's al Ghul. Yep.
He goes out of his way
mm-hmm.
to like if surely if you're willing to kill Ra's al Ghul, you're willing to kill the Joker. Surely the Joker is crazier than Ra's al Ghul.
This is true, but I mean Ra's al Ghul got a lot further into his plan than the Joker did.
I don't know, man. The Joker had, like...
Well, Ra's al Ghul's plan... Ra's al Ghul's plan was to, you know, get the fear gas into the water supply to then cause fear and chaos in Gotham City, and he actually succeeded in that, and then Batman thwarted him at the very last second.
That sounds kind of like what the Joker in Batman tries to do.
It sounds also like what Bane...
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think about it, all three of those movies are kind of the same.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's... I actually elaborated on this in a thread in the Facebook group. Sort of the thing that dawned on me that really, really bugs me in retrospect. With The Dark Knight Rises. So skip over this part, people, if you haven't seen it. It's not a huge spoiler or anything. Actually, it is a huge spoiler, so skip over it. But the whole, like, Bane making it so that the bomb detonates in 5 months doesn't really make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And I retweeted something from former Screened editor Matthew Rory about that exact fact. He listed out a lot of flaws with the film. And he made me think, and yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But we're not going to talk about that because it's not the Dark Knight Rises podcast. That's however, true. Christopher Walken was in Mouse Hunt.
Mouse Hunt just keeps...
Yep.
It's really the through line of all of our Error Report episodes.
It really is. I feel like. Yeah. And you know what? Mouse Hunt's a great movie.
That's true. There's that part with, like, the ball of yarn that's actually a ball of cheese.
Yeah, cheese yarn.
Cheese yarn. And there's that part where they put all of the mouse traps on the ground, but then they can't walk.
And then there's that other part where they fill the entire house full of water, and mm-hmm. then they get on, like, the tub, and they fly out to the ice where they crash and... through the ice and get really cold.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. It is the modern day Odd Couple.
The modern day Odd Couple. Mouse Hunt. From 1997. Does 15 years ago count as modern?
No.
Or have we reached the point where it doesn't?
I think that 15 years is the cap.
15 years is the cap.
Yeah, I would say 10 years. If it's within 10 years, then it's modern.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I see that.
Yeah. So anyway, it doesn't. Batman Forever is up next on my watch list. Yeah.
You know, now that I think of it, there's really only two Batman movies I like.
1960s Batman.
I was actually going to go 1989 of The Dark Knight, but sure.
Yeah, when was the last time? Okay, wait, have you even seen the 1960 Batman movie?
Yes, yes.
When did you see it?
When did I see it? A year ago?
Man, you should watch that again, because it's pretty awesome.
See, I bet it's not.
But that's the thing. It not being awesome is what makes it awesome.
No, I get that. I get the ironic value. But if I'm being honest and trying to compare movies, I mean, I don't think The Room is a good movie.
The opening, okay, wait, but Batman, the 1966 Batman movie, has the best opening credits.
I don't remember them that well.
It's just a spotlight with a different colored filter over the camera lens, panning over something, and then that something being startled that they are on the spotlight.
That's pretty good.
While text pops up in the background on the brick walls behind them. And so Batman, Adam West is sneaking around, and the spotlight catches him. He's got his cowl, like, he's got his cape over his head, and he just drapes it. And he gets spotted by the spotlight, and he just throws it down and just starts walking calmly, like he wasn't trying to sneak around at all. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fantastic.
So, Quint.
Yeah.
How familiar, I should say, are you with the like, decade-long Sight and Sound magazine movie polls?
Not.
Okay. Well, essentially, since 1952, every 10 years, Sight and Sound, which is a movie magazine and website, polls, like, I think, over 800 people in the industry, in the movie industry,
mm-hmm.
and their editors and such, and compiles a list of the 50 greatest movies. They've been doing this, you know, for this year makes it 50 years. So, with that, this year makes it 60 years, I should say. And a lot of what this magazine says is the best movie ever made sort of very sneakily makes its way into the public thought of what the best movie is. So, you know, the classic example, Citizen Kane, which people often say is the best movie ever made, has been at the top of the Sight and Sound list for the last 50 years.
Citizen Kane is very good.
It is. It is a very good movie. It is Orson Welles' second best movie.
What would you consider his first best?
The Magnificent Ambersons, which is a better movie. But that aside, this marks the first year in 50 years that Citizen Kane no longer the number one film on the Sight and Sound list.
What?
It has been knocked down to number two.
I need to know the movie that knocks down Citizen Kane.
Well, you want to know what it is?
I'm kind of afraid to know.
Okay, well, how about this? Take a guess. I will tell you that the fact that this, and I think you'll get it, the fact that this movie knocked down Citizen Kane makes me giddy. I'm very excited about
it.
Oh,
Vertigo.
Vertigo.
Vertigo. That's a great movie to knock down.
Yeah, Vertigo is now, according to Sight and Sound, sort of the leading authority on these things, the best movie ever made. I'm not sure if I'd go that far. I might. But it...
Okay,
yeah.
So then what do you consider the best movie ever made?
Oh, God, don't ask me this question. I have a list. Where's my list? I have a list of my 10 favorite movies.
And do you, like, refresh that list every time you see a movie that you think is quality enough to breach that list? Yeah,
like, I refreshed that list when I saw Moonrise Kingdom.
Where's that on your list?
Well, that's the thing about my list, is that they're not ranked.
It's just 10 movies?
Just 10 movies.
It should be number one. That's the best movie ever.
So I'm just going to have to go from memory because I can't find it. Moonrise Kingdom is on there. Barton Fink is on there.
Vertigo.
Vertigo is on there. Singing in the Rain is on there. That's Doctor Strangelove is on there.
Another great movie.
I'm trying to remember. I have this really excellent Korean film called Memories of Murder on there.
Mm.
That's like my hipster choice. Actually, I have the ultimate hipster choice right after that, which is Last Year at Marion Budd. That's about as obscure as they get. And then other than that, I'm trying to remember.
Battlefield Earth. There are three others,
but whatever. You know.
From Dusk Till Dawn. I bet you love that movie. Yeah,
that's number 8.
Some Like It Hot. That's a great movie.
Some Like It Hot is not on my list.
It should be.
It shouldn't be.
Is it number 11?
It is not number 11.
Because that's
I haven't plotted out number 11, but it would not be Some Like It Hot.
Is it Touch of Evil?
No.
Harry Potter.
Just go through all the movies. All of them.
Any of the Harry Potters? Muppet Christmas Carol. Spider-Man 2.
That's 16. Spider-Man 2, number 16.
Rebecca.
Rebecca is number 17. Not quite as good as Spider-Man.
Jurassic Park.
Number 603.
You're a terrible human being. What's your thoughts on Pan's Labyrinth? I haven't seen it in years, and yet I somehow have two copies.
I like Pan's Labyrinth.
I don't know why I have two copies.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
When did I buy a second copy of Pan's Labyrinth?
When you saw one and you were like, oh, Pan's Labyrinth.
You know what? It might have been when, because I have Blu-ray and DVD, and I might have gotten the Blu-ray without remembering that I had the DVD.
Mm.
That happens. What about King Kong, the original King Kong?
Where does that rank?
Sure.
That's probably it's probably in the 300s.
Goodfellas? Terminator 2.
I'm so indifferent as to these movies that ranking them feels...
The Philadelphia Story.
Philadelphia Story used to be on my 10.
And yet Moonrise Kingdom trumped it?
It did. That was, in fact, the very movie that kicked off the Philadelphia Story.
Anatomy of a Murder.
Mulholland Drive. That's a movie that's on my top 10.
That's that David... I forgot his name.
Lynch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say Finch, but that's a comic book writer. And then I was going to say Fincher. And then I was like, no, that's not right. And then I was going to say the Twin Peaks guy. And then I would have sounded dumb.
Well, the Twin Peaks guy is the guy.
Oh, yeah. What about Lost in Translation?
I haven't seen that movie in 4 or 5 years.
Neither have I. But I'm holding in my hand right now. So if you want to watch it.
Yeah, let's do it. I'll bring some bean dip.
Ebert and Roper give it 2 big thumbs up.
Oh, well, you can't go wrong there.
And Thomas Adams from Us Weekly says, getting lost never felt this good.
Mm.
It was Academy Award winner for Best Original Screenplay.
I just had an idea for a game.
Huh.
So the idea is you go to a Metacritic page, and you read out a review, and the person playing, like a blurb, the person playing has to decide whether or not that is a critic review or a user review.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's the thing that brings our conversation to a halt.
Thanks for listening,
everybody.
That's all I got for it. What have you been doing this week of note?
I reviewed Deadlight.
Yeah, 3 stars.
Yeah, I gave it a 3 out of a possible 5.
Yeah.
It is okay.
That's what a 3 means if I remember our setup properly.
Right. It is okay.
Which means I should retroactively make The Dark Knight Rises a 3.
Can't do that, man.
Now I know. I know, but the more I think about it, like whenever we were talking, it was like the more that I thought about it, the more I liked it. But now the more I think about it, the more I want to lower that score.
The 8.5 I gave Uncharted 3 haunts me to this day. I wish I could knock that down to around a 7. But
so is 40-year-old virgin unrated version on your top 10?
Only the rated version. Unrated is 23.
I understand. Unrated really lowers the quality.
It does.
There are a lot of boobs.
Yeah, too many for my taste, honestly.
But it's number one on your boob movie list, right? Okay, American Pie's Naked Mile.
Well, I mean, they run and they're all naked, so obviously. That's what that movie's about, right?
Yep.
They all run while they're naked.
Yep.
That's a pretty good premise for a movie. I can picture somebody walking in to, like, a producer's office. The producer has, like, a sack of money on the ground next to him. And it's like, I want to hear your pitch. And the guy walks in and says, well, they're naked, but they're all running. And then he just throws him the bag of money.
You take this, you make that movie.
Yeah, you make that movie.
And I get final cut.
You need to preserve some integrity, though. with your, Everybody Runs While They're Naked movie. There's a lot of social commentary. Says a lot about our current financial system failings. American Pie, The Naked Mile, does.
Shut up. Just stop.
I'll keep going.
So, I've been thinking lately.
Yeah. Oh, also, should I say anything about Deadlight?
Sure. We were talking about that?
I mentioned it.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
If you want to. I mean, if it's too mediocre for you to say anything about, just...
It's weird because it's not consistently mediocre. Like, half of that game is a 4 and half of it is a 2.
That would make it a 3.
Yeah, it's funny how that works out. So in Deadlight, it's sort of a... A lot of people compared it to Shadow Complex. I'd say it's more like Out of This World or Flashback, or one of those games. Very heavy on sort of deliberate platforming, but deliberate platforming that feels really good. Sort of maneuvering around these environments in ways you wouldn't quite expect. And when it's just doing that, when you're platforming and when there are zombies around and you have to avoid them, it's a lot of fun. But then it's like in the second act, I feel like the people who made that game are like, okay, we need something other than zombies. So suddenly they introduce this secondary character who doesn't really serve any sort of purpose and sets up a bunch of like traps that you have to navigate in this sewer. And that's just really boring and awful. And, like, the environment makes it so you can't tell what's in the background and what's in the foreground. So, like, can I jump to that or not?
Yeah.
There's a part where you're running away from a... There's, like, auto-scrolling levels. Like, a near 15-minute block of auto-scroll with checkpoints. That's awful.
That sounds terrible.
Because it's not, like, it's not what that game is designed for. I feel like the people who are coming up with ideas were not coordinating with the people who are making them happen. Because it's like he just moves too deliberately. There's too much weight behind him for you to play it that fast and loose with.
Right.
That sort of thing. So yeah, a three. Story's kind of shit.
Oh, okay.
I saw the twist coming about half an hour into playing the game.
Okay.
It ends really quote-unquote ambiguously.
Does it end the same way that Dark Knight Rises does?
Yeah, sure, you could say that. Yeah, you know, it's a game. 3 out of 5. There are worse things you could spend your money on.
I am going to grab a bottle of water and you're going to listen to me do it.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Because this cord is long enough for me to do that.
Right.
So, anything else you want to talk about?
I played about 7 or 8 hours of Xenoblade.
You didn't actually play Xenoblade.
I did.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
That's true. Xenoblade played me. If I'm be honest about it. God, that game's so big. Like, too much stuff to do.
Does that make it, like, a little bit inconsistent in, like, terms of quality? Because you get lost a lot and sidetracked, and you don't know when you should pick up the main story? Or does it just feel too big without a reason to feel big? Or does it feel big in a good way?
No, it has a reason. It has a reason to be big. It's very ambitious, and I think it pulls off that ambition. But, like, it's weird because there are a lot of side quests that are just, like, you go into the menu, and it's just, Monster Quest 2. Go to this place and kill these 3 monsters. That's a thing you'll see a lot. But then there are also named side quests.
Sounds like Monster Hunter.
Like, you have to go to a castle and rescue this chick who got kidnapped. Like, that's one of the more interesting side quests.
But does it have, like, a, like, story to it? Like, cutscenes or whatever?
Some of them do. I mean,
like, the named one, at least?
Yeah, like, it's, I mean, I haven't done a ton of them, because I probably have around 25 to 30 active side quests at the moment.
God damn it.
And I could have picked up a hell of a lot more. I feel like every person in a town has a dumb little question mark over their head. Hey, can you fix my watch? Or some shit. I had to go do that. For this lady. She was like, hey, fix my watch and I'll give you gold.
Well, you can turn back time, so just make the watch.
You can't turn back time. You can see into the future.
Oh, so see into the future to find the solution and then just, like, make it happen. That's how that power works, right?
The way that works in combat scenarios is that, like, you... About 30 seconds before a boss would unleash a really devastating attack, you see the attack and you can start strategizing to prepare for it.
Right. So, I remember in the 4 hours that I played of it, I got to one story-based boss battle and it would not complete because it was trying to teach me to do something and I kept on doing it. But they never registered to complete the boss battle.
Huh.
I don't know if it was just something that I wasn't doing right or that it wasn't communicating with me, but it was the battle that had the big twist in the beginning.
Oh man, that was when I realized Xenoblade was not fucking around.
And that's the reason why I want to go back to it, because it's not fucking around, but then at the same time it's so fucking big.
Yeah,
I can't.
So that's at a certain point, you just have to be like, okay, I'm not going to complete these side quests. Mm-hmm. I'm not. If I, you know, it is that syndrome where sometimes you'll be wandering around just naturally and you'll pick up 3 items without noticing it, and then it dings, and it's like, oh, you completed the side quest. It's like, oh, that's nice, I get a little extra gold. Yeah. Or I'm killing these monsters because I need to be, and then, oh, ding, side quest complete. And that's sort of the way I've been tackling it, because there's a lot of sort of very subtly frustrating UI things in that game with the quests, where there's most of the side quests don't have objective markers on the map. The main story quests do, but the side quests don't, so it's a lot of wandering around. So I've just sort of made my peace with that. I'm just going ahead in the story. It's not just big in terms of the world is really big, which it is.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
You're standing on a fucking giant.
Yeah, the whole world you're navigating is
a giant. Two
giants that have been locked together. That's what it is, which is crazy.
It's amazing and weird and awesome and stupid.
All of those things at once.
Yep.
There are so many systems in that game that there was a point where I just forgot about one or two of them. And so, you know, you can bring up your menu and there's a place you have to go to dump skill points into leveling up your arts. And I just forgot that was a thing I could do. Managing so much other stuff. I was getting new equipment, and then I was going to craft gems to stick into my equipment. And I was, you know, setting up skill trees and stuff. And then I was like, oh shit, I now have 10,000 AP that I can spend on stuff.
Right.
Like, it's all really smartly designed. The more I play it, the more I am wrapping my head around it. But god damn.
Yeah.
Just giant.
I want to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I got Metal Gear.
Yeah.
I got the Final Fantasies that I need to play.
Right.
I still haven't beaten Final Fantasy X. And I've tried like 5 times to do that.
Final Fantasy X has a boss about 2/3 of the way through that is just brutal.
I can't remember. Where did I leave off?
It's this boss. You fight him on like a mountainside.
Nope.
It's a snowy mountain.
Nope. I was in some kind of jungle. Mm. It was after the Laffy thing.
Oh, the you're dumb in laugh. The... Yeah, I know.
I'm going to have to start over anyway because I don't fucking remember what I did. So that'll be the 5th time that I start that over.
Yeah, but Xenoblade still making hesitant progress in that. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing half the time. But I like it. So that's important.
Of course.
Also, the voice acting is pretty good in that game.
Yeah.
So far. Other than that, I've got a bunch of games that I want to play that are all super long. So I have that I'm waiting on, and then
I need to get this chair is fucking me.
Mm. Why are you complaining?
Okay. I need to get into a comfortable position so I don't move around in this chair that is clearly breaking.
Right.
And I can't do anything about it.
Yeah, but I remembered that I bought, about a year ago, I bought Baldur's Gate 2 on GOG.
Jeez.
So I downloaded that, so now I have Baldur's Gate 2 waiting for me.
Which, what's the subtitle for that one?
I'm not, I can't remember.
Does it even have a subtitle?
It did. It might have had expansions that had... That might be it.
Shadows of Om.
Yeah, Shadows of Om. That's right. And I got like 2 hours into that a year ago, and then I stopped.
Mm.
And I really want to play it, because everybody talks about how great that game is.
I've played a little bit of it, and it's pretty great.
Yeah, so I'll probably do that, but there goes another 90 hours...
Yeah, that's a big game. It's a big game.
Also, I have Okami.
That's a big game.
It's a huge game.
And then I'm thinking of getting the Persona fighting game, which has 13 characters in it and about 5 to 7 hours of story for each character.
You should just not do that.
But I like Persona.
Yeah, lot. But... Dude.
But I could just never buy new video games ever.
That's what you always say. And you will never, ever not do that.
Oh, also, I forgot. I'm also playing Persona 3, which is about 60 hours long.
Why?
Because Persona's really good.
I've never played a Persona game.
Should. They're really good. Persona 4 is excellent, and Persona 3 is pretty great so far.
Are they connected?
No, it's sort of like a... Well, vaguely. Like, the themes are all the same, sort of the basic systems are all the same, and I believe in Persona 4, there's a part where all the main characters visit the school that's in Persona 3.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the characters don't carry over.
Oh.
It's sort of like a Final Fantasy situation, in that sense.
Okay. Yeah. So, every game has a Cid... And an airship that you fly around in.
Yeah, every game has Biggs and Wedge as side characters. Yeah, nothing like that as far as I can
tell. Ooh, that was loud. I apologize.
Yeah.
That was me setting down my water bottle.
Maybe we'll do a video on Persona 3.
Okay.
I'll show it off to you. That's also a game with a ton of systems in it.
Fantastic. What's that on?
It's PS2. It's on PSN, though.
Okay.
And that's the other thing. The version that's on PSN is the expansion edition, which means that in addition to the original 60-hour game, there's about a 10-hour, essentially, DLC add-on.
God damn it.
So,
wait. So, I was on the PlayStation Store a couple of days ago, and I noticed that they started doing... PS2 classics. Is that what you're talking about?
It's a thing now.
That's amazing, by the way. That's awesome. That's really cool.
I mean, I used to have to go and buy Dragon Quest VII if I wanted to play it.
Addition to HD remakes, like, that is the next best thing, is to, you know, just get a downloadable title of your favorite PS2 game.
And then I'm trying to remember. I definitely... that's right. I got... And this was actually a couple weeks ago, but I forgot to talk about it. I got right to the end of Silent Hill 4. Because, you know, summer doldrums, right?
Right.
Got to find something. And I just beat Shattered Memories, and I absolutely just fell in love with that game. The only Silent Hill that my GameStop had was 4, so I was like, okay, I'll play this. That game is really good until the very end, which is just... It might be the single biggest fuck you I've ever seen to the player. Like, it's... Because the whole thing is you're trapped in this apartment. You can't leave. And so... All of those segments are in first person, and holes open up in places in your apartment, and you have to crawl through them to discrete levels to figure out what's going on.
Are there a lot, like, tight corridors and stuff? Dark hallways? Because those freak me out.
Silent Hill 4, in my experience at least, has not been very scary. There's definitely... parts. There are some tight corridors. Like, there's a subway, a deserted subway level.
I mean, if there's a hallway that has some corners, and it's dark, and... I mean, it just freaks me out. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just, like, the small claustrophobic spaces that I'm moving down. I only have one avenue to go down, and, like, turning a corner is always just, like, a... heart-pounding experience. Watch the Slender video.
I think the thing that would freak you out the most, then, is just the first-person navigation in your apartment.
Probably.
Because there's... what winds up happening is that your apartment gets progressively more haunted. So it'll start it'll start barely noticeable. Like, you know, maybe your TV switches on when you didn't turn it on. But then suddenly these growths just start popping up out of the walls and, you know, the faucets are pouring blood.
By the way, now that we're talking about this.
Okay.
There was a time, it was a few years ago, and I had this DVD player, and I was sick. And I was watching episodes of Entourage.
Like you do. I've never seen an episode of Entourage.
You'd hate it.
Yeah, I'm sure I would.
It's like Sex in the City, but with dudes in Hollywood.
All right. I love Sex in the City.
So, I turned the episode off and I went to sleep. I turned off my TV, I turned off the DVD player. And at like 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden, I wake up to the sound of a very loud episode of Entourage in my face. The TV had turned on, and the DVD player had turned on and resumed where I was in the season.
Right.
And I turned it off. 2 hours later, it happened again. I was like, what is going on? It was weird. It was really weird. So the lesson here is don't have a Samsung TV hooked up to a Samsung DVD player, or else the DVD will automatically turn itself on after an extended break.
Yeah, and, well, everybody knows that. That's when they become autonomous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's when you hook them up. Yep. Samsung DVD player.
And it's
Samsung.
Like Voltron, but with TVs.
Right. The last thing that really freaked me out was it was really late at night, and I think I was listening to a podcast or something, as I tend to do before I drift off to sleep.
Mm.
And my window was open, and I heard this really weird
squeal. And then Splendor.
You're
next to your window.
Yeah. I heard this really weird squealing noise. The first thing I thought it sounded like was someone was just taking, like, the wettest, most disgusting shit outside my window. But then, like
they do.
Yeah, like they do. And then I heard, like, footsteps and something walking around, and then there was the same noise, and then some more footsteps, and then it went away. And I actually got up and looked, and there was nothing outside. The only thing I can figure is that, like, there are a bunch of deer that hang out in my driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet it was a deer. My driveway, like, attracts cats and deer and raccoons.
Well, that's what I was going to say was, like, one time, I think this was a year ago, maybe two, mm-hmm. I was drifting off to sleep. And all of a sudden, I hear this loud screeching sound. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And it was right outside my... like, literally right outside my window. And my bed, at the time, was set up right next to my window. And so, it was probably the scariest thing that I had ever been woken up to. Like, just the screeching, right, like a foot of brick in between me and it. And it turned out it was just a dumb cat dying.
I see.
Yeah. Wasn't my cat.
Yeah.
It was the neighbor's cat.
I was trying to remember
what I was talking about. It didn't die. It was just slowly dying. I was talking about your Silent Hill.
That's right. Silent Hill. So, what happens at the end of this game, and I'm confident in being able to spoil Silent Hill 4.
Of course.
It's been long enough.
Yeah.
It's, you have to backtrack through the whole game, and go through go through the same levels, but there are different objectives.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an escort mission.
Ugh.
So... there's two points against it. You are backtracking through the entire game. You have to escort a person who is weaker than you. around. Then also, third thing, you can normally go back to your apartment to regenerate health. Your apartment does not regenerate your health anymore. And then also, there is a guy who is sort of the main antagonist of the game. He's the serial killer. And he follows you around in a raincoat with a revolver. And he just appears out of nowhere and fucks your shit up.
Not the raincoat killer.
And
he's supposed to stay in his own goddamn game.
And that was the only thing that legitimately freaked me out, was I was wandering through this graveyard, and then suddenly I heard, like, a click, like a gun cocking, and then I heard a guy laugh maniacally, and I spun the camera around, and there was this guy in the raincoat pointing the gun at me.
That's freaky. Bolted. That's pretty freaky.
So, yeah, that I have not gone back to that in a long time, because I got to this part where all I had was an axe, and there were, like, 8 enemies in a hallway that I needed to kill.
Mm.
And I couldn't do it because of how little health I had.
Oh.
So, in other words, fuck Silent Hill 4. even though it's got really cool, like, everything in the apartment is really cool. Like, you can go out and look out the window at all the people living their normal lives.
That's awesome.
And there's one puzzle where you have to... There's a lot of cool puzzles involving the apartment. So in one case, I had to open up this lock in the dungeon that I was in. So to do that, I had to go back to my apartment. I had to look out the window at this billboard that was advertising the place that I was navigating through in the dungeon. And there was a phone number. And then I had to read the phone number on the billboard and call it on my apartment phone. And that unlocked the door.
Wow.
So that was really cool.
Yeah.
And just, like, yeah. But yeah, that game can go fuck itself. other than that, I really don't think I've been... I played more Gravity Rush.
That sounds like a good game.
Gravity Rush is so much fun.
If I ever get a Vita...
It's just like, because I popped that game back in immediately after playing Lollipop Chainsaw, and it was, like, so much fun to play a game with this really spunky and adorable female protagonist who I didn't find objectionably presented.
And you adore spunky female protagonists.
Oh, man, they're, like, my favorite.
Yeah.
So that's good. And, yeah... That's about all I've been doing. I downloaded a bunch of mods for Skyrim, like 40 mods.
Jeez. Did you download the sexy skins?
No. No, because I'm not that pathetic.
Oh, well, I should probably delete pathetic, that then.
But not that. I do have the mod that makes the moon for Majora's Mask.
That's pretty creepy.
It's pretty great. I also have 2, like, pistols now. They're Dwemer pistols.
That's awesome, actually.
And then I got a pack of, like, 20 mods that just general graphical improvements.
Including the fetish pantyhose outfit?
Well, yeah, that's just a general improvement.
Yeah, no, and, oh, dude, I totally forgot, Dawnguard is available on PC now.
You should grab that.
I should grab that eventually.
Speaking of spunky female protagonists, the follower you get in that game is a spunky female protagonist.
I will grab that at some point.
I like your commitment.
It's actually on my wish list, and it's just a matter of
Of time until Santa reads it.
Yeah. Yep. Oh man, I should download this Pure Water patch.
Yeah, I did that.
Does it look good?
Yes, it does look good.
Does it look better than the water that's in Skyrim right now? Because right now that's kind of broken in my game.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time that I'm like, and I've got this set up like ultra everything, but every single time that I am far away from water and get closer, I can see the layers of progression that it takes in the texture in order to load it. It's especially noticeable on waterfalls, and it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. I'm right here in the Steam Workshop, so I'll tell you the stuff I have. I got the Midas Magic spells for Skyrim.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was just like, I don't know what that is. So
it's just 60 new spell types.
Huh.
And everybody says it's really good, so I got that. I got this mod that lets you spend Dragon Souls for perks.
That's pretty cool. Except I just went into the console and just added all the perks.
Yeah, yeah, I did. The only thing I've used the console for is my income. My weight level is now 9,999.
As it should be. As it really should be.
I don't want to deal with that shit.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the only reason why I did that is I just didn't want to deal with leveling anymore.
Right.
Like, I wanted to go through the content without having to deal with, you know, what I wanted my character to be, because I've never gone into Oblivion or Fallout or Skyrim thinking, you know what? I'm going to make a character who is exactly like this and only uses this stuff. I don't roleplay the way that I think a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
I just try to do everything with one character.
Yeah, I definitely... I mean, unless... There have been times when I've booted up a new game of Fallout 3 and I've been like, this guy is a psychopath. And he's going to kill everybody.
Yeah. You do that with your evil guy. No, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I also got the mod that lets you kill all of the NPCs.
That's amazing. Even the kids?
I got a shit ton of quests. New quests that people made.
Now, do those include voice acting?
Some of them do, and okay. I'm really scared. I got this lore-based loading screens mod, which I guess just sort of spits lore from the books at you on the loading screens rather than tips.
Mm.
So that seems good. What else here? Got this audio mod, which makes all the sound a lot better. Gives sounds for individual animals. Better snow, lush trees, lush grass.
So just a lot of lushness.
Just a lot of lushness. I got about three different luxury houses, too. The people made the Seabreeze Estate is one. Gleaming Falls is another. There's an airship, too.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Yeah, it doesn't move.
Oh.
But it's like, it's just a house for you.
In the sky?
In the sky.
It's a castle in the sky.
Let's see here. More kill moves.
So basically just a lot of things that enhance the game, but not necessarily change it.
Yeah, I mean, I did the thing that, there's like the get drunk mod, so now when you drink too much, you kind of stumble around.
That's cool.
Child adoption service. So now I can adopt a kid. And perhaps the most useful of all of these, which is the final one I downloaded, is for the Stones of Berenzia quest, where you have to find, like, 25 of these random stones scattered everywhere.
Right.
These are quest markers that point you to where each of those things is.
Nice. I'm thinking of getting that one.
So, yeah. Skyrim modding community is impressive.
Yeah. There's also some pretty cool Civ maps.
Right, I saw Game of Thrones, Tamriel.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And I want to get back into both of those games. Like, I stopped playing Skyrim for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the summer Steam sale. Like, I just stopped.
Right.
And, you know, started dabbling in very few of the mini games that I bought. Mm. But I put a good 25 hours into the PC version of Skyrim now, so.
Yeah, I think I'm nearing. I've put about only like two or three into the PC version at this point, but I'm around 90 on the Xbox.
Okay.
something like that. It's nice to have sort of my Xbox save, which is where I'm, you know, focused on leveling and doing things proper.
Yeah.
Then I have the PC where I just sort of run wild. I did try to pull some voodoo magic with the PC version where I ran into this thing where to get one of the achievements in Skyrim, you need to, like, restore the Thieves Guild to its former glory, but to do that, you need this Thieves Guild armor they give you that I just sold a really long time ago.
Oh, right.
So I tried to... I was able to successfully move my save from the Xbox onto the PC, so I'm playing with that save. But my plan was to just, with the console, give myself the armor and then get it back over to the Xbox.
Yeah.
But that didn't... I can't seem to crack how to get it back onto the Xbox. Getting it onto the PC was no issue.
Right. But,
it's... Yeah.
Do you want to know what I've been playing recently?
I do.
Because I don't know if I talked about it, but I did play a little bit of Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
Mm.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. That's an okay game.
Yeah, I would give
it
a 3. I
wasn't quite as into that as other people were. But
a 3 out of 5.
Good.
I'm not done with it yet, but I mean, I don't know if I'll get back to it anytime soon.
When you play, that game's only like 3 or 4 hours, I think, but when you play an hour of it, you've pretty much...
Yeah.
I feel like you've seen what needs to be seen.
Right. Let's see, what else did I... I want to talk about that one last, but... I've been playing some Darksiders today.
Mm.
Yeah, gotta get ready for Darksiders 2, you know, all that rich lore and... terrible storytelling of the first game.
You know what I did? Probably while you were playing Darksiders.
Hmm.
I'm going to give the people listening a peek behind the curtain since this is a special episode.
It is?
Yeah, since there's only two of us.
Oh.
I sent... I'm trying to weasel my way into getting either you or me a Borderlands 2 copy early. So,
okay.
So that's happening.
Yeah, if you do that, yeah. I'll have to talk to you during the break about something.
About something?
Yeah.
Okay.
That
got me all worried.
Don't worry too much.
I mean, all I did was put some racial slurs into this email that I sent to the 2K.
See, but using my email address whenever you do that, That's the bad part.
Right, yeah. I mean, I do know your password.
I don't really remember what else I played, so I'll just talk about it. To the Moon. I played To the Moon.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
And it's a... It's an indie adventure game.
Is it an adventure game?
Yes, it is an adventure game. Well, it's a very simple adventure game. But it's telling the story of these two scientists trying to, grant an old man's last wish, which is to go to the moon. Mm-hmm. And it is a really touching story. Like, the story is the best part of that game. But I can't touch on the story, because if you're going to play this, which you probably should, because it's a very good story, you go back through the old man's memories.
It's like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, right?
But yeah, it is actually a lot like that. So these scientists are basically going back through his memories and trying to find out more about him and find where they can place a trigger to make this, copy of his memories change so that he goes to the moon and then implant that into his memory, his actual memory, before he dies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're going back through his memories, you're finding out about who he was and why he did the things that he did,
and you know it, who he loved and why, and that is the best part of the game. Whenever it is just the two scientists standing back and watching something play out, that's the best part of the game. But then you've got these two scientists who, and I've read this is the divisive part of the game. A lot of people like the banter that the scientists have between each other, and it's this playful banter, keeping the game light in between these really intense emotional points in the story. And it's pretty much split down the middle. People like this and people hate this. And I'm in the latter, because I feel like if you're telling a story that is that emotional, and it really is, to all of a sudden, right after an emotional point, have some stupid joke, it doesn't play well at all. It really doesn't. And the moment I noticed this was the first moment whenever a joke like that was used. Like, in the beginning, it's kind of lighthearted, and then you start to understand what these two scientists are doing, and they break through the first memory, and, like, one of the male scientists is breaking the memory, and in order to do that, he throws these memory shards at the, memory totem in order to move back to another memory. It's like a link between... Anyway... So he throws it and, then says Hadouken as he throws the last memory shard. And this was right after we had realized that an old man was dying and we were going to try and understand his life. And he just says, Hadouken! I didn't like it. And he continues that. And
you know what this complaint sounds oddly like? It sounds oddly like my complaint with the newsroom.
Sure. I actually don't see the comparison on that one. But...
Well, the idea is what I was complaining about a couple weeks ago was the way that show manages to sort of undercut its very serious goings on with kind of silly romantic foibles.
Oh.
And you know, like weird physical humor that seems out of place.
Well, this is because I don't seem to mind that as much as you do. This seems a lot more out of place than that stuff.
Well, good.
Yeah. But I tend, like, at a certain point I was just like, I'm just going to click through this shit because it's not interesting. You two are not exciting. I want old man John here. I want him to tell me about his life. That's what I want. And so the adventure game is really, like, the game itself is kind of light and you can complete it in one sitting. Mm-hmm. But so basically all you do is, once you see a story cutscene type thing play out, it's in a 16-bit format, so it's not really a cutscene as much as it is just watching something play out on that, you know, top-down camera perspective. Very nice art, by the way.
Yeah. Is it like a 16-bit?
Yeah.
Deal? Okay.
Very much so. And it's gorgeous.
Good.
And so basically, once you see that story play out, you go and you find these different memory pieces in the environment. You click enter, and then you get that memory shard. So you collect 5 of those. You go to the memory totem, and you just click 5 times, and then you're presented with a puzzle. And you have to solve that puzzle. And it's really just like a... It's really simple, like, flipping tile puzzles. They're really not difficult. They're kind of annoying once you get the hang of them.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Just sort of tedious.
Yeah. It's just like, that I feel is an appropriate amount of time for a break between the emotional moments, and just cut out the banter, and you're totally fine.
Okay. I will probably play this video game.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like a video game I should play.
Yeah, and the music is
amazing. It is. All right. It is some of the best music that, in a video game that I've listened to in a while.
Okay, I'm sold.
It's really good.
Anything else? From your.
I had corner. Notes. I had notes and on To the Moon, and I threw them away.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Actually, they're right here. No, that's something else. I did throw
those
them
are
away.
Fez notes.
Nope. Those are other things. No, I've been... Shit, I did something the other day. Nah, whatever. So yeah, that's that. I guess.
I guess?
I mean, what you, play To what the Moon. I really do think that you should play To the Moon. It's fantastic. Okay. Even the stupid parts. Like, you just get over those, and then it is... It's 4 out of 5 stars, and the story is fantastic.
Well, I don't know. Do you want to... We have a couple questions, and maybe
we have some
segment.
Well, we also maybe have some news, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's break, and you'll find out after this. Involves a bunch of dead bodies.
Great.
I know how much you love dead bodies.
I do love dead bodies. Almost a little too much.
Alright, so we are back, and it's time to maybe do a little bit of that stuff we like to call news.
Da-da-da. Yeah.
I don't know why, but I find that really funny. Still.
It's good.
So, let's see here. There's gonna... Hey, Evan.
Hmm? Yeah?
You are a lover of musicals.
Hmm. That's true.
And all things music-related.
That's not...
Cats might be your favorite thing ever. Followed closely by Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, boy.
Getting close?
No.
Well, then you will not like Andrew Lloyd Webber's video game.
Oh, God.
So, he's working on a singing
he's
and...
He's conquered the theater.
And now he's going to conquer your living room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this Kinect?
No. This is for the Nintendo Wii.
Mmm.
Yep.
Even better.
So... It's just going to be singing and dancing competitions with Andrew Lloyd Webber music. So if you want to get your jazz on to Masquerade from Phantom of the Opera...
I really don't.
Now is your chance.
I really don't want to get my jazz on to anything from Phantom of the Opera.
It's going to feature 32 songs from... whatever he's done. And it should
Except
be out.
Except I'd be happy to get my jazz on with Emmy Rossum, who was in Phantom of the Opera, the movie. But beyond that...
Yeah?
Yeah.
She's alright.
She's a pretty lady.
Eh, she's okay.
Should look up a more recent picture of her.
Okay, I will.
She's a pretty lady.
Okay. September 14th, look for that on the day that Isn't that the day Borderlands 2 comes out?
Maybe. Gives a shit.
I know the two communities are really close together, and it's going to be It's going to be a hot day for.
It would be
the
like releasing Battlefield 4 the same day as Black Ops 2. Like,
yeah.
You should,
yeah.
Shouldn't touch it.
So here's a game that I don't know if you really got a good glimpse of during all the E3 coverage, but Namco Bandai has a new game coming out later this year early next year called Ni No Kuni: Wrath of the White Witch.
Oh,
this is the Studio Ghibli.
Yeah. That game seems cool.
It looks kind of adorable.
That figures.
So, they got some pre-order bonuses. Mm. You get a steel book.
I love steel books.
In GameStop or the EB Games if you're in Canada.
If you're living in 2005.
So then if you pre-order from Amazon, you get a Griffy, which is just like a griffin animal thing, I guess for combat or whatever.
Mm.
Anyway, this seems kind of adorable. It's for the PS3 and comes out on January 22nd.
I see.
I think I kind of have to. I think that's going to be the point wherever I'm gonna want to play that.
See, remember how I said a little while ago that I think I've reached a point now where I don't really have to go back and play many games.
Mm-hmm.
The predicament I found myself in right now with Persona 3 and Xenoblade and Persona 4 Arena and Baldur's Gate 2.
Right.
Means that will assuredly happen again. Yeah. I am going to miss games this year that I'm going to have to go back and play.
Right.
And that is sort of the curse of really, really loving RPGs, because goddamn, they're so long.
Yeah, they are.
Like,
yeah.
It was so much fun when I played Deadlight in one sitting. I was just like, yeah, that's like a 4-hour game. Cool.
So,
I was meaning to ask you, Clint, could you buy Deadlight?
No.
See, it's just that I'm like an hour away of playing from getting all of the achievements, but one of them involves like a friend infecting you. I don't know what that means, but infecting you on the leaderboard, and I don't have any friends who have Deadlight.
I don't find it to be a priority.
Well, yeah. Well then, good day to you, sir.
Yeah, all right. Fuck you, too. Hey, you remember that what's the title of that game? Mass Effect 3?
Boy, do I.
So, you played it?
Yeah.
Not many people did.
You know I have an affection for niche.
Well, you might want to dust off your copy of Mass Effect 3 that you totally want to play again, because they're having some DLC, some single-player DLC called
Leviathan.
I'll be honest with you,
not sure I'm going to play that.
I'm not.
I feel like I'm sort of through with Mass Effect right now.
I am, yeah.
A fitting conclusion. Not to say I don't love Mass Effect 3, because I do, but
yeah, it's just like, that was a fitting conclusion, and really, I don't want to go back.
Yeah, like, Mass Effect 2, I was interested to see where they were, because, like, the appeal of, say, the Shadow Broker DLC was always, like, how will this extend into the third game?
Right.
You and know, now, finally I'll now get that to really spend some time with Liara, but now they've just, this is a dead end, as far
so,
as I can tell.
This apparent press release says, taking place during the events of Mass Effect 3, players will be thrust into the darkest corners of space, where they will hunt a mysterious being rumored to be powerful enough to destroy a Reaper. As they race against time, they will begin to unravel the secret of the Leviathan.
Yeah, see, the only way they could pull off DLC for me is if in some crazy world they announced a new Mass Effect, and then they put hooks in the in the next one
yeah.
in a piece of DLC, or if they did, like, a total prequel thing.
It's just that Mass Effect 3 had such a good conclusion that it
right.
just... I don't feel like I need to go back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mass Effect 2 was that sequel, like, the middle of a trilogy where everything is tense at the end of it, and you're wondering what you can do to change the outcome of certain events and stuff, and so, you know, it made sense to go back. But this game, even though it's great, I just don't feel like I need yeah. to go back.
Like, I don't really want to go through on a harder difficulty.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 3. It's just not super interesting to me at this point.
I really want to play Max Payne 3 again.
It's so good.
It's so good.
You know, Matthew, who tried to be on this podcast but wasn't, said before we went on here that Max Payne 3 is a missed opportunity.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
He's an absolute idiot.
What does he mean by that?
Let's dissect this. I don't know. How can... Did he, like, miss a lot and not shoot who he meant to shoot?
Did he even play Max Payne 1 and 2?
I don't think that he did.
Man.
Yeah.
What a dick.
He is a dick. He's the worst human being. You know what? Maybe we should just, like, let him go.
Like, never have him?
Yeah.
Guest or on the...
On the site ever again.
Site
he's
ever.
Like he's a horrible human being.
I mean, he doesn't write anything anymore.
No.
That's for goddamn sure.
Yeah.
We're the only ones keeping that alive.
Yep. And we're the only ones here right now. We're the only ones
yeah.
that care.
So you know what? I'll announce it right here. Aeronaut Found is now just two people.
Two people.
Me and Clint.
Clint.
Fuck the police.
And Evan. Evan and Clint. Two. Yeah, that would be it. What if it was
right?
That would be. Wait, hold on. So it's a buddy cop movie, but we're just sitting in the donut shop talking about buddy cop movies the entire time.
So you're saying the most meta buddy cop movie
yes.
ever?
Yes.
Where
that's exactly what
we're
I'm saying.
Boring cops who just talk about other buddy cop movies.
Well, okay, really, what? Okay, and then an explosion happens, and then we're like, dude, this is like that scene from Beverly Hills Cop 3.
we go through Great America. Like, oh, this is that scene from Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Doesn't this remind you of that scene in Rush Hour where we suddenly have the soundtrack from... God
so I'm not going to lie. This sounds like the most infuriating movie ever made. What you are pitching to me right
well,
now.
Well, you know what? It's fine. We can take it back to the drawing board. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying there's a way to do meta.
Yeah.
That's not the way to do meta.
No, it's not. World of Warcraft. That's a video game.
Yep.
It's
been a video game for like 8 years.
They dropped like 1.2 million.
Maybe as people are wising up and realizing that MMOs are sort of a lifeless, soul-sucking grind.
Man, I can't wait for Guild Wars 2.
In other news.
Guild Wars 2 coming out August 28th.
Yeah. Should I get that?
Yeah. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play a lot of that game.
Yeah. It's just I have so many games to play.
I'm really considering, like, I have an Amazon pre-order of the Collector's Edition. I'm just wondering if I'm going to bring that down to, like, the Digital Deluxe Edition or the Standard Edition. I don't know. But I know that I'm going to buy that game.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's going to be really good.
Okay, you'll be my guinea pig.
That's fine.
You'll buy it.
No.
And then you'll write a review or some shit.
Yeah, I'll have to write some kind of, like, per...
I mean, not a review, because
like
you can never really...
You can't review an MMO. Like, let's be honest here.
It is hard, yes.
So I'll just review, like, a... or just do, like, an impressions.
Mm-hmm.
I will definitely
yeah,
do
good.
One of those. Yeah, I'll play through the first 2 hours of every class. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, every race. Because every race has a different character story.
This is going off the Skyrim talk we were having earlier, but did I tell you about my idea for a video series?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think we should do that.
I think it's actually being done right now.
By who?
Rooster Teeth.
Oh, I don't keep up to date with what they do.
Yeah, they're kind of doing that.
Oh, well, never mind.
Yeah. I just forgot to tell you.
Yeah. But you should... You should play more Slender, by the way.
No. So, last
the
bit of news...
The community demands it.
Last bit of news that I have. the Oculus Rift Kickstarter. You remember that VR? The virtual reality?
Can I say something? I'm coming back around to Kickstarter.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not as down on it anymore. It's like I've gotten a second wind of Kickstarter interest.
So, this is, quote, truly, this is a quote from the Kickstarter page, truly immersive virtual reality.
Now, is this what John Carmack was showing off at E3 with Doom 3?
I don't think it's exactly that.
Because he used, like... rocket parts.
Yeah, I don't think... I'm not sure if this is the exact... Like, this... I don't think this is the exact... maybe it's the thing that he was showing off at E3. It probably is. I mean, he's on the Kickstarter page. A lot. Like, his name is mentioned multiple times.
I see.
So, anyway, dude, they've got 27 days left to go, and they've already, out of their $250,000 goal, they've already got $1,237,751. Who's the idiot who backed with $1?
I don't know. An idiot, that's who.
Yeah, because you don't even get any of the... backer things. By the way, if you pledge $5,000 or more, you get some dumb stuff, but you better act fast because there's only two left.
Yeah. I think, honestly, the reason I'm coming back around to Kickstarter is it is less, I don't want this to sound mean, it is less sort of really energetic and hopeful individuals doing things, and more people with like real game plans and some sort of backing doing things that they might not otherwise do.
Right.
I mean, that's why I was so into the Double Fine Kickstarter. It's like, I know if I put my money where my mouth is, like I did, get my special thanks in the credits.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to get a good product, because Double Fine makes good games.
Well, if you act now, you can get the Honey Badger Barbecue Sauce. It is habanero hot with a touch of honey to light up your grill, kids.
Oh, god damn, that sounds so good. I just want to drink that.
They want $40,000, and they
fuck it. I'll give them $38,000.
They've only got $10,000 so far.
How many more days left?
26.
Okay, well that's good.
Yeah,
we've got time.
That's all the news I've got.
How do you feel about VR?
Virtual reality?
Only the most virtual of realities.
I feel like I want that to be the future, but I can't, like, it's not there. Like, there's no way that it's there.
Uh-huh.
I can't see sitting down with a controller in my hands and looking around. Like, that's a good step, but I don't think it's far enough.
Ultimately, like, what you want, what I want, at least, is just to be fully in a thing. Like, if I
can't
walk.
Do you want to, like, jack in, or...
Yeah,
like Matrix style?
In. Like, I want to just live and breathe in a different place. Like, I don't want... Fuck anyone who's, like, you know, I want Pain to be in that world.
Oh, dude, what if you could, like, yeah. What if there was, like, the seedy underbelly where you could, like, what comic was I reading? There was, like, an entire planet that was dedicated to sex. They had everything you wanted on this planet.
I see.
Oh, but, like, Saga, that's what it was.
With virtual reality, as I see it, is you can't move.
Yeah, yeah, like, that is the issue.
Like, you can't walk with a...
Right.
Unless somebody puts out some crazy giant trackpad thing.
Yeah, where basically you are in a room of your house that is just a complete 360-degree screen with, like, a 12-way treadmill on your feet. Oh, God.
This sounds amazing.
No, it doesn't, actually. That sounds
amazing.
That sounds terrible.
It is a combination of the worst practical idea ever and the best idea ever.
But you remember The Matrix Online?
Yeah, I remember.
That was a game.
That was an MMO.
Yeah.
What I am suggesting, Clint, is full immersion.
MMOs will get a kickstart if we can kickstart jacking in.
Here's what I'm saying. Next time I boot up the Secret World...
You want to actually be the one stabbing Cthulhu?
Sure.
Yeah.
I want to be the one cavorting around with the Illuminati in wherever the Illuminati is.
I'm just saying, like, if you had a planet dedicated to sex...
You're just all about this sex planet.
It was a crazy planet, and this guy just goes down to the planet to get some sex... And then he finds the worst thing possible. He finds, like, a little 8-year-old girl there, and so he tries to escape with her, and he finds out that, like, she was sold.
Then he goes and shoots a congressman, but fails.
No. Here's the worst part about it. So he is about to take off with the girl when suddenly the boss lady. Like, the manager of the sex plant. She stops him and is like, listen, this girl has, like, 4 years left on her contract. And if you leave her with her now, as soon as you breach the atmosphere, her head is going to explode.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds just like Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Parallel stick.
So, I mean, I think that it's going, it, like, if we ever got to the point where virtual reality jacking in Matrix style was a thing, man, that would be the hottest of button, hot button issues ever. That would breach any kind of Chick-fil-A conspiracy.
Nice way to string it into something topical there.
I just, like, seriously, think about that. Like, What if you could infect someone with a virus while inside this virtual world? That is scary. That's a scary thing.
So I have one piece of movie news in quotation marks.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that...
I wish I could breathe right now. My nose is...
No. What's wrong with your,
I can't,
with your nose?
I can't really breathe through it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
So one of the things for this Sight and Sound poll that they do is they have a specific, like, prolific directors section of it. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a director's top 10, but then they also ask big-name directors to send in their top 10 movies. And so I have a list of some pretty high-profile people here all talking about what their favorite movies are. So I figured I'd sample.
Yeah,
I'd pick and choose. For example, I know how much people love Quentin Tarantino.
People do.
So I'll read off his favorite movies. Keep in mind these are not ranked in
any. You know what? I think I read some of his favorite movies once, and I thought he was kind of fucking insane.
Yeah, yeah. His favorite movies: The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Sure.
Okay.
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
The Bad News Bears.
That's the one where I was like, he's insane.
Okay, Carrie. Dazed and Confused. The Great Escape. His Girl Friday. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll jump on that. Mm-hmm. On that boat. Jaws.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sure.
I can get behind that.
Taxi Driver.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. It's a couple of those.
But the Bad News Bears.
The Bad News Bears. What's your Martin Scorsese's favorite movies?
I like all my favorite movies. Did you see that Siri commercial he did?
Yes.
That was kind of dumb and kind of funny.
8.5. God damn it.
Fuck you, Martin Scorsese.
So here's the thing.
I don't like that movie at all.
Here's the thing that bothers me. 8.5, I think, is like a third of a really good movie. But even then, on the Sight and Sound Director's Top 10 list, 8.5 comes in number 4. And that bothers me, I think, more than it should, because of how 8.5 is sort of the pinnacle of just a director masturbating all over a movie. And to know that so many other directors are like, yep, good on ya.
Yeah.
It makes me feel weird.
Yeah.
So 8.5, 2001 A Space Odyssey, another for Marty. Citizen Kane.
That Rich. Sounds like a very good Martin Scorsese favorite movie.
Yeah. Vertigo. Sure. With yeah. You there.
Marty.
Marty. The Searchers. It's a good movie.
Mm.
The River is a good movie. The Red Shoes is a good movie. So he's got some good movies.
Hey, would you like to back the Fat Taco food truck?
No, I'm fine.
Are you sure? Because they want to serve some of the best brisket tacos and more to the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
I'm really set.
And I could use some good brisket tacos. That sounds weird.
I'm pretty good.
I love this. The Fat Taco is real food and real good. All caps.
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen just likes Woody Allen movies.
That's true. My favorite movie is Manhattan.
he probably likes anything by Wes Anderson.
Yeah, there you go. Bicycle Thieves. Very, very yeah. good movie.
Yeah.
Seventh Seal. Very good movie. Citizen Kane.
Of course.
Eight and a half.
Fuck you, Woody Allen.
Come on, Woody.
Woody!
That sounds wrong. Rashomon. Not my favorite, but people do love their Rashomon. Can't fault him for that. Grand Illusion is a good movie. Paths of Glory.
Paths of Glory? Really? The Kubrick movie? World War I movie?
Yeah, his first movie. That's a weird choice.
Yeah.
That I sort of respect.
It's pretty good for a first director outing.
Definitely. The 400 Blows, which is a good movie. Let's see. Amarcord, which is a pretty good movie. And The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie, which is a very good movie. So, Woody Allen, I'd say more hits than flops for me on his list.
Yeah.
And then the last list I have here, skipping over the list that the director of The Artist was asked to provide, because fuck him.
isn't Edgar Wright on there?
He's not on the list I have.
Oh. Because I saw him tweeting about that.
Yeah, I know he contributed. I just don't have his list.
And he said that he didn't consider Vertigo to be the best movie ever.
Yeah, that's fine. Edgar Wright.
Ow!
Edgar Wright's taste in movies is not very similar to my own.
That was my knee.
He's a damned good director. Francis Ford Coppola is the last list I have.
Okay.
Yojimbo. Okay.
Yojimbo.
Singing in the Rain.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
Raging Bull. Sure.
Okay.
Sure. The Apartment. Sure. Yeah. Sunrise. Sunrise is a good movie. Mm. The King of Comedy. Okay.
Okay. Isn't that a Scorsese movie?
Yep. That's the Scorsese movie with Jerry Lewis.
And the News.
That's Huey. And then the last movie I have here from him is The Best Years of Our Lives, which is a pretty good movie.
Hey, okay. I forgot this story.
Oh, yeah?
Dishonored has a pretty cool voice cast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like?
Like Susan Sarandon.
Okay.
Chloe Grace Moretz. Moretz?
Please, Clint.
Sorry.
Get your teen actors right.
Carrie Fisher.
Okay.
It's also got, I don't know how to say his last name, Brad Dourif? Dourif? He was in Dune. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Lena Headey is in it. Game of Thrones, awesome actress. Michael Madsen from your favorite movie, Reservoir Dogs.
Yep, that is my favorite movie. True story.
So yeah, like, that's pretty cool.
Sure. Also, Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah, Emma Stone, Tom Wilkinson.
Cool. Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Are you going to play that game because Emma Stone does a voice in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know when I'll get to it, but... Yeah.
I'm probably going to buy that game when it comes out. I'm interested.
I really like Emma Stone.
Is that right?
And fuck Andrew Garfield.
You don't like Andrew Garfield?
He's stealing her away from me.
Oh, I...
That's not... That asshole. That fucking asshole. I was this close. This close.
They're just characters in a movie.
No, actually, they're dating.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They are dating.
Okay, then you were just that close, Clint.
I really was. I was so close.
You were just...
She's adorable.
Sure. Sure.
I have a feeling that if we were to get to talking, she would fall in love with me.
Of course. Let's throw two questions.
I miss you, Emma Stone.
Questions.
I miss you.
Questions.
Okay. Oops, I did it again. I play with your heart.
Okay.
Got lost in your game.
You're still
oh,
whiskey.
Oh, baby. Oops. You think I'm in love. Sit from above. Oh, shit. That was stupid.
Yeah.
All right. What did you want to say?
Before we throw to questions, I just found out one successful Kickstarter just raised $10,000 in the nick of time is a Slenderman movie.
That's awesome.
So that's being made. There's a teaser up on their Kickstarter page. I haven't watched it yet. But yeah. That's all.
Okay. Questions. I got the questions. Do you have the answers? Because I have the questions.
Yeah.
Questions. Do you have a favorite sleeper hit / indie movie? Asked Alex Zurita.
I mean, that's a...
Let's just say Moonrise Kingdom.
Sure. That's a very broad question, because I think, like, half of the movies on my favorite movie list could be considered...
Sleeper hits?
Sleeper hits.
I don't know. One of my favorite indie movies is 500 Days of Summer.
I'm still scared to see that movie.
I know you're scared, but it's adorable.
Yeah, I'm just worried. I'm just worried I'm not gonna like it.
It's not on my top 10 list or anything. It's just a really great indie movie.
Okay.
And of the movies that I saw in 2009, it was my favorite.
I will say that, that a movie many people have not seen that is on my list that they should see is the Korean film Memories.
Clue. Of... What?
Memories of Murder. Did you say Clue?
Yep.
That's true. Not many people have seen Clue.
No, but it's pretty funny.
But Memories of Murder, one of my 10 favorites. Korean film you should really watch. Kind of a police procedural with a twist.
Ooh, are they all dead?
They're not all dead. There's not that much of a twist. It's just sort of a movie about how ineffective the... it's based on a real crime. It's a movie about how ineffective the police force in this one town in Korea is, essentially. Bit of a slow burn, but a really good movie. People should watch it.
I'm looking at my movies over here, and... Nope. I mean, Lost in Translation was an indie movie, and that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, anyway, next question.
Cabin in the Woods be considered an indie movie?
Let's consider it an indie movie and say that.
Yeah, Cabin in the Woods.
Well, hey, it's a sleeper hit.
That's true.
No one saw it, and it's amazing.
I think it made its money back.
Barely. It made its money back, but it wasn't really that expensive, was it?
It was like $30 million.
That's not expensive today.
It's not, sadly.
Considering $250 million went to making that dumb Avatar movie.
Yeah.
Or was it more
than that? That was more.
Yeah. Yeah. Avengers was $200 million, wasn't it?
Yeah, around there. Money well spent.
Very well.
That's one of my favorite sleeper hits.
Here is an answer, or we're probably going to agree on the answer to this next question.
Okay.
What is the Miles Cadle? What is the best Batman movie from each of the directors?
Okay.
So we got Tim Burton.
That's Batman.
Batman, the original Batman with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm. Joel Schumacher,
Batman Forever. Oh,
Christopher Nolan is The Dark Knight.
Yep. That was a very easy conversation to have.
Yeah, although, well, the rest of them are kind of shitty.
A case could be made.
And Batman Forever is kind of shitty, so...
A case could be made for Batman and Robin.
I mean, many cases have been made.
On this podcast. No, Batman and Robin's pretty great.
I really wish Poison Ivy was in The Dark Knight Rises.
That would only make it the best Batman movie ever.
Yeah.
Really, they just botched Bane's entire story because he uses venom.
Yeah, because he doesn't have that green stuff flowing into him all the time. That makes him go crazy.
Woo!
New question.
I actually saw that complaint that they messed up Bane's story.
Yeah.
Miles also says that he is watching Batman Forever tonight. Good choice.
Bad choice. Can I tell you who should have been the villain in The Dark Knight Rises?
Who?
The Riddler. And you know who should have played the Riddler?
That guy. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No.
Oh.
Alan Tudyk should have played the Riddler.
He would make a fantastic Riddler.
Yes.
That would make an amazing Riddler.
Exactly. more people need to jump on my bandwagon.
Fuck, he would be a great Riddler.
Like all of his stuff from Dollhouse.
Oh my god, he would be an amazing Riddler.
Yep.
Holy shit, let's get fucking Tudyk on the phone.
I think I have his number around here somewhere.
That'd be pretty great.
It would be beyond pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
New question. Now I'm just getting depressed that that's probably never going to happen.
It's never going to happen, ever. Unless we do like a short and Alan Tudyk shows up.
We should start a Kickstarter on behalf of Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk for Riddler. $500,000. We got the script ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could write a Batman script.
It's easy. It's easy. Let's just throw up a couple of riddles. So, what do you get when, you... I'm just trying to think of the ones from from the Batman movie.
I see.
I can't think of them right now. One of them was really stupid. Like, what's really angry and stuck in a tree? A sparrow with a machine gun.
Why'd the mushroom go to the party?
Why?
He was a fun guy.
You see, I could think of, like the Riddler killing people with riddles.
Oh, God, that mushroom pun just makes me want to die. Blah.
No, listen. Like, okay. you know the riddle of, like, the guy who seemingly hung himself, but he didn't have a chair or anything to kick off from, and there was a puddle of water underneath him?
Right.
What if the Riddler did that?
Hmm.
That'd be pretty great. And then Batman's all like...
What's the solution to that?
What? Oh, so a man...
He's standing on a block of ice.
A man stood on a block of ice and watched the ice melt and then died. That's pretty dark for the Riddler to do as well.
That's pretty dark.
Yeah.
That's really... That is among... Actually, the more I think about it, the darker it gets.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so
I'm just going to sit here and watch...
Think Alan Tudyk. Alan Tudyk in a green... like suit, like a button, mm-hmm. like a two-button suit. Okay?
Yeah.
And he's got a cane that he doesn't really use. He just like twirls around a whole bunch.
I think about this all the time, Clint.
And he's got some like dark green pants, okay?
Yeah. What's he wearing underneath those pants?
Question mark green boxers. Not boxer briefs, but boxers. Because he doesn't like the way they feel against his skin.
Right.
This is Alan Tudyk's blog we're talking about now.
So, Alan Tudyk would make the most amazing Riddler.
Yeah, he would. And so he's just sitting there, like, with his feet propped up on the ice block as it's melting. And he's just like, talking to this guy. Like... Dude, you're going to die, and I'm going to watch you, so let's chat.
Yeah, he gets out like a hair dryer.
He gets out a book of Mad Libs. They start doing Mad Libs together. Finishes a Sudoku puzzle.
There is a whole wealth of darkly comic material.
It would be amazing.
Be more. Who should play Batman to Tudyk's?
Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion would make a great Batman.
He actually would.
He could pull off the Bruce Wayne thing.
Yeah.
Probably.
I don't know. Well, you know, the more I think about it, maybe Nathan Fillion's not right for Batman.
Yeah, he's not quite the...
But he would make a great Two-Face.
Yeah.
What if Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion were the Riddler and Two-Face in a dark new reimagining of Batman?
What Whedon alum will play Batman?
Alexis Denisov as Batman. No, actually, David Boreanaz was whatever the fuck his last name is.
Boreanaz.
Whatever. He'd do a pretty good...
He could do it.
He's pretty much Batman already. I'm pretty sure they made that joke in Angel, that he is Batman.
Yeah, he just swoops down and, like, saves people.
Yeah.
His whole job.
Yeah.
New question.
Okay. At what point in your life did you discover your appreciation for movies?
Well, it was right around 6 months after I was born. I saw a Taxi Driver for the first time. And let me tell you.
Oh, man, I'm actually trying to think of this moment.
I don't know, like three? I have a VHS copy of Singing in the Rain that played so much that I just wore out the tape.
You're like a special case.
I'm a crazy person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I think it was like whenever I was 9 and I got my first video camera.
Mm.
Yeah. That was pretty great. Video cameras are awesome. Especially whenever your friend decides to set them up secretly in your room and then ask you a bunch of personal questions and then about things that, you know, you would normally talk about, but you didn't want filmed.
Sounds like you've got some resentment here.
No.
You squared that away.
Yeah.
I murdered him.
And then, well, there's this one crazy video that we shot where he was trying to do the same thing, but I totally was on to him about it. And, like, years later, I'm about to sell this camera, and so we decide to watch back all the tapes that I had, which I think was a bunch, to see like what I had filmed and what was funny, what wasn't, and if anything was worth keeping, which nothing was worth keeping.
Right.
Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
But it was this one night, and neither of us had any recollection of it.
That was the best kind of night.
But the thing, like, there was no substances involved. We just don't remember.
Yeah. It's the preteen hangover.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, there was a moment where I went to punch him in the chest, and he dropped the camera, and the camera, like, cracked. You know that, like, film jitter? Like... that you think is fake, but it's totally real, dude. It happens. And so the film, like, cuts out for a second, and then it comes back on, and you can hear him in the background. Ow, ow, no! I didn't say that about your mother! And then
Were you one of the teenagers in the Blair Witch Project?
Yeah. And then it cuts out again, and so then we went, and we tried to piece back...
And then it cuts back in, and it's just a still shot of the Slender Man.
Well, no, we tried to piece back together this night using clues. The thing was, it was like the Hangover.
Clues.
The Hangover before the Hangover is cool. Anyway, the thing was, I was apparently talking to someone on the internet for a few minutes. That I don't even remember knowing. That's the crazy part. I didn't even know who I was talking to.
Huh.
And who are you talking to? And it's Lauren. I don't know a fucking Lauren. Anyway. So then we pieced together, like, there was this cup that was on the carpet. And it was, like, a quarter filled with Dr. Pepper.
Oh, boy.
And... that was the only clue we had.
This is the... Yeah? No, only clue you had?
But then I recalled a
few
months...
Clue to what?
Hold on.
What's the end game here?
Whatever...
You're gonna find out who murdered your friend.
Yep. Whatever happened that night. Anyway, like, a few months after that apparently happened that night, I opened up my TV cabinet drawer... I didn't open it for a while for some reason. And inside was that cup, but it didn't have any Dr. Pepper in it. instead, it was like a Dr. Pepper slushy in the bottom. But that couldn't have happened. It must have, like, grown because it was months after the fact. It was weird. Anyway, that's the end of the story that has no purpose.
And that's when you knew you loved movies.
Yep. That's when, as soon as I opened that cabinet.
Oh, boy. Good question.
Do your feelings towards certain movies change when you watch them with other people?
I'm sort of a stubborn prick, so no.
Well, I mean, like, naturally you laugh more whenever you're watching a comedy with other people than whenever you're watching it alone.
I mean, definitely, like, The Cabin in the Woods was a difficult experience for me because no one in my theater was laughing. And so I do have a difficult time being the only one laughing in a crowded theater.
Oh, I don't. That is fucking great. Yeah. You don't like it? You don't know this movie.
You don't get it.
The worst part is when people laugh at things that aren't funny.
Yeah, no, that's the worst.
Like, I laugh at a lot of things, but there is a fine line between what is funny and what is just stupid.
That was... I have a theater, a really old kind of revival theater in San Francisco that's in an area of San Francisco where sort of all the hipsters hang out. So it's very fashionable to go to extremely serious movies and laugh at them. And so I saw a 70mm print of Vertigo there. Chuckles all the way through.
As soon as he was trying to toss her off the...
He'll never be the same again because he thought he murdered that chick. Oh, funny.
One more question and then a challenge.
Jeez, that's ominous.
Yeah. I don't know if this challenge will go off well or not.
Well,
Miles wants to know how this year's movies compare to last year's movies.
I don't remember what last year's movies were like.
Last year's movies you didn't like a lot of.
Well, that's every year's movies.
I mean, I feel like this year you've been at least a little more happy when it comes to movies.
I mean, you've got the triple threat, right? You've got Cabin, Avengers, and Moonrise.
Right.
Right. Which...
And then you got Max Payne. Wait. No.
Yeah, Max.
Max Payne 3 is a movie.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Asura's Wrath.
Yeah. Best movie of 2012.
No, but Moonrise Kingdom is the best movie I've seen this year. Cabin coming in a close second, followed by Avengers in a close third. Like, so yes, I would say that I think this year, just off the top of my head, has been better than last year. You know why? Because we got two Joss Whedon movies. We got three.
Yeah. Toronto Film Festival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I wish I could go.
Fancy.
I'm still trying to figure out if there's some way I can just implausibly go to the... Because also Paul Thomas Anderson's new movie is going to be there. So I've got two reasons. Two reasons.
I mean, last year there was The Descendants.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
The Artist, your favorite.
Love it.
I don't really remember what else. What was in the Oscar race last year?
I don't think this is the right podcast to bring this up on, but Tree of Life was last year, and that's... That's an exquisite movie.
No.
It's actually really good.
Oh, so apparently when I type in 2011 Oscars, they actually mean, like, movies from 2010. So, go figure.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? The 84th Academy Award winning nominees were The Artist, The Descendants, Extremely Loud, and Incredibly Close.
That's better than The Tree of Life.
The Help.
That's better than The Tree of Life.
Hugo.
Never saw it.
Midnight in Paris.
That's right.
The best movie of 2011.
Nah.
Moneyball.
Sure.
Aaron Sorkin's epic.
Aaron Sorkin at his least frustrating.
But totally inaccurate.
Yeah.
And also he only did like the first draft of that script, right?
I don't remember how that worked. Maybe.
I think they like scrapped most of his script and it ended up being finished by some other dude.
Why is Billy Bean ranting so much about the internet? Because Aaron Sorkin does that a lot.
Yeah.
Shows.
Hey, he will fix the internet, alright?
I did sort of like that line because of how...
how insane it was.
How everybody else in the room was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
This guy's crazy.
So think about that. Like, think of that as, like, you know how I was pitching a new Duke Nukem game, where everyone just doesn't like Duke Nukem.
Right, no, that's the way to do... I've had that theory for a little bit, too, that if you do a Duke Nukem game, you have to make it so that he is pathetic.
Right.
And everyone around him knows it.
Right.
And, like, I always thought it would be fun to mod Duke Nukem Forever as it is and just record new dialogue with people, but just use out-of-context lines from Duke Nukem and just insert them in places as non sequiturs because he's just going crazy. It could be like in The Darkness too, you know, how there are all those parts where he's in a mental institution?
Yeah.
It would be like those parts for the whole game.
Interesting.
It would just be Duke Nukem wandering around this lonely mental institute, and all the doctors are like, Duke, what's wrong? And then Duke will just say, you know, one of the things he says.
I'm and everybody all out will of shake bubble their gum. And sigh.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I'm all out of bubble gum. God damn it, Duke. Just trying to make
oh, fuck you, Duke. You know what? I am a lady. I am not some sex symbol, alright? For you to oogle at, you dirty man whore.
They're stealing all our babes. Who? Who's? Duke! You're tearing us apart.
But our babes.
God damn it. Take him away. Up his medication.
Yeah, what if Duke Nukem Forever was just, like, a psychotic breakdown of Duke
God,
Nukem?
That's the only way to do it.
And then
at the end, he shoots himself.
No. My start for Duke Nukem Forever 2 is pretty great. I don't have anything else other than the start of Duke Nukem Forever 2.
It should be Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah. Duke Nukem Forever 2. Forever harder.
You just won. So. Forever 2, forever harder. I know we don't have episode names, but can that somehow be the name of this episode?
Duke Nukem 2, forever harder.
No, it has to be Duke Nukem Forever 2.
Duke
you
Nukem Forever
2. The redundancy.
Yeah, okay, let me write that down.
Duke Nukem Forever 2, colon, forever harder. Colon, the sequel.
Forever harder. I would love it. Oh my god, I've got to actually write this now. Get a job at Gearbox.
I'm saying, man.
Oh, god.
One of our very first ideas for this podcast was to read that script you wrote as a radio play.
Oh god, man, that would be so great.
You don't do it soon, I'll just write one.
Oh man, I gotta find some time. I gotta do that, and then I gotta send it to Mikey Newman at Gearbox and get a job.
I don't think that's gonna work.
No, it'll work.
Uh huh.
He's the
You give the eventual negative review to Borderlands 2, they're gonna be like, "Nope, sorry."
You gave this a negative review. I don't think I can even read this without.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Have you worked on a game that has a Metacritic score of 85 or above? I don't think so.
Actually, they are looking for a narrative producer right now, so...
There you go.
If I can write this fast.
Get on that bandwagon.
Ben has a challenge for us.
Okay. Ben... Oh, God. I'm just having flashbacks now.
Ben wants us in one stream of consciousness to tell the plot for what you think the perfect movie would be.
What?
So what I think we should do is pretend we're in a pitch meeting. Okay? The two of us are pitching a movie.
Can mine be a short?
What?
Can mine be a short?
No. Listen. Okay, so the two of us are in a pitch movie, and we're pitching a movie to some executives, and we're just going to bounce ideas off of each other, like, live. Like we're going to snowball an idea.
Okay, so we're going to combine our ideas, because I have a very specific idea in mind.
No. What I'm saying, like, whatever perfect movie you actually have, that's not what I mean.
I know. Sure.
Let's...
Okay.
So it basically snowballs out of control. So first act, the sun rises and the camera pans down to a alarm clock that says 7:30 a.m. and the alarm starts going off. A tired hand slaps down on the table trying to hit the alarm clock until suddenly he just grabs it, rips it, and throws it out the window.
Right, exactly. And see, the thing the camera doesn't see, this is going to be a reveal near the end of the first act, is that that hand was actually a severed hand that our protagonist, our crazy protagonist, was using.
Right, because he is actually like a serial murderer. But he also...
He daytimes as a lifeguard.
And a taxidermist at night.
He's a lifeguard during the day.
Yeah.
And he's a taxidermist at night.
A taxidermist murderer at night.
Right, and I'm thinking... he lets people drown when there's no one else around, mm-hmm. and then he takes the corpse and stuffs them.
Right.
And then he uses the stuffed limbs to do things, just in his house, prepare his meals, depends. Are we going for a PG-13 here, or are we going for an R?
Listen, it's really up to... up in the air right now. I mean, as far as I know, right now, we don't really need to show the blood. And, you know, it's really up to them. But what I'm thinking is... Okay, so basically... So, taxidermist lifeguard, you know...
Yes.
It's 7:30. Oh, shit. Or, you know, oh, darn, if we're going for PG-13, I don't know. I gotta get to work.
PG-13?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you can say shit.
Ah, you can say fuck twice in a PG-13 movie. Fuck. That's fun.
Oh, fuck, I dropped my hand.
And so then he goes to his normal day job as a lifeguard. But I know what you're thinking right now off the bat. You're thinking, where's the struggle? Where's the antagonist here? Evan,
yeah.
Where is the struggle?
Okay. Well, see, the struggle is this. He's in love with, a female swimmer who's training to, go to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter when we release this, because, I mean, the Olympics are big whenever, but,
right.
Like, if we could push this to 2016...
Yeah, I mean, that would be, ideally, you know, we can really spend that time polishing up the effects,
mm-hmm.
making sure it looks good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, his one true love is this Olympic swimmer, and he has to, while talking with her just casually, because she practices at the pool he lifeguards for, he has to fight the urge to kill her And, you know, there's this very climactic scene where she starts to drown and he has this internal monologue, you know, do I save her? Do I let her die? And then that's the end of Act Two. And, you know, it turns out, yes, he does save her because he cares for her that much.
And actually, these internal monologues are actually voiced by the guy who does... have you played those Max Payne games? That guy.
Yes. Yeah. That I forget his name.
James McCarthy or something.
Yeah, something or other.
Yeah.
So he's gonna be the internal voice of our main character.
So basically, he's a lifeguard, and he's a taxidermist, but he's also an alcoholic.
Yes. He's an alcoholic, a very severe alcoholic. There's one scene in particular, a very dramatic scene, where it is the night after he has attempted to woo this swimmer. It hasn't gone well. He gets very drunk and actually destroys a good number of his taxidermy creations.
Right, right. He throws them all into the pool.
As the viewer, you are meant to feel bad for him. While you're also caught in the paradox of him being an awful person.
Right.
Yeah.
And all the while, these mobsters are after him for money because, you know, he has a gambling addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they threaten to hurt this girl that he likes, and she has no idea really that he likes her that much, you know.
Exactly. She's entirely oblivious to this. So right. what our main character sets out to do is he starts creating these people, killing these people for this grand scheme he has about how to deal with these mobsters. He's going to arrange them in a very specific way so that all of these mobsters think that they're the enemy and they're going to shoot them, and that's gonna be his window to get back at the mobsters.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
And then in the last act,
right,
he attempts to save this Olympic swimmer, but he doesn't get to her in time, and she actually drowns in the pool that he lifeguards at. And he wasn't able to get to her in time to save her.
Mm-hmm.
And So you see this dramatic struggle as he attempts to bring her back to life, and the camera never cuts. The camera never cuts in this scene. Okay,
yeah, so, no, this is, so this is he is minutes. Just this is auteur shit.
Yeah, okay. he is just crying and trying to bring her back to life. As CPR, the pounding of the chest, and you feel the heart. You feel his heart breaking with each pump of her heart.
Yes. And then this is in the final act. There's still about 15 minutes left, and this is where we might get into some tricky business. If we want to shoot for the PG-13, we can be clever with editing.
Mm-hmm.
But what he winds up doing is he stuffs his love. That's right. The first thing he does.
Yes, yes.
He and then stuffs he her. Begins to with the help of some medical supplies he has stolen from a hospital,
mm-hmm.
Stuff himself. And this is sort of a metaphor for the way he's feeling, how empty he is inside. And at the end of the movie, he goes with his newly stuffed love, and him, who is partially stuffed, and he gets a rock, and he ties his neck to the rock, and he dives into the pool, drowning himself. And that is when, right before the credits roll, we cut to black, and the title of the movie appears, Sink or Swim.
But if you don't like that, we got an alternate ending.
We got a couple other ideas.
Okay, so alternate ending number one. I mean, okay. So basically, so he still stuffs her. Like, that has to stay the same,
that
I think, because it is a thematic consistency, really.
I am not.
Right.
I am not going to stand for that to be removed.
Right.
My integrity needs to remain here. I want
So he starts to live out his life as if she is alive. But
yes.
But taxidermy. So, you know, they're sitting down watching television, and they're watching this really funny movie, and he starts to laugh and he looks at her and he realizes that she can't laugh. And
like,
so,
do you remember? It's like a cross between that movie Lars and the Real Girl,
right?
It's like a cross between that and a movie with taxidermist.
So,
yeah.
So he realizes that she can't laugh, and then he just you see it in his eyes, like he can't live anymore.
Yes.
And so he sits down in the couch or on the couch right next to her. And you remember that scene in Taxi Driver at the end?
Where they're on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're on, yeah.
Yeah. It's like that, only he shoots himself.
Mm.
Instead of the police shooting him. Okay. Or taking him away or whatever they do in Taxi. I don't know. Taxi Driver has nothing on this movie. So, right. Anyway.
Okay, so I have a second alternate ending for it. A third, I should say.
I didn't get to the title card.
Oh, title card, sorry.
I don't have a title card.
You don't have a title card?
You know what? We'll get back to it.
Yeah,
we can table that. Tentative title, as it were.
Right. I mean, I think Sink or Swim is really the way to go. I know you have some differing opinions on that, Clint, but I think we'll find a good middle ground. Mm. So the third, this is the final alternate ending we've come up with, if those two aren't good enough for you. There's actually a happier ending for all those involved, but with a little tinge of
Dad, that's an ant. What's an ant doing on my fucking desk?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
The whole idea is, you know, he still stuffs her, right? That, once again, that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just up to us to decide what happens in the last 15 minutes. But after stuffing her, he begins to, like Quint's idea, live out this ideal life with her.
Right.
And it is in the last 5 minutes of the movie that we take something of a surreal departure. The rest of the film will be very realistic. And the Andy Griffith theme
is playing through this entire last 15 minutes. It's like a montage.
Right. It's a montage, and it gets progressively stranger until a fairy actually appears. Not like a glittery fairy, a very subdued, kind of normal-looking fairy. Feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Head not in the clouds. You know, comes by and says that because he has believed in her so much, that she is as real as she will ever be.
Yeah.
And he is perfectly content with that. And the last shot is of him hugging the taxidermy. Andy Griffith Show. You know, the taxidermied. Andy Griffith. The taxidermied lover. He's just hugging her. And she's not alive, but she's alive to him. And mm-hmm. that's what's really important.
Exactly. Fairy dust.
And then it cuts to it cuts to the credits.
Exactly. That's, yep.
The title card in this case will read "Why Do Fools Fall in Love?"
It's also a song lyric. So
true. See, the idea is it will get a medley going between the Andy Griffith theme and the song "Why Do Fools Fall in Love?"
Yeah.
And then we'll play it backwards. And that's how you know it's dark.
So then the movie starts as it began, and he uses the Olympic swimmer's hand to hit the alarm buzzer as he wakes up.
Yeah, but this time he doesn't get angry and throws it. In fact, he hits the alarm, and rather than get up, he just goes back to sleep, cradling this doll in his arms.
There you go, perfect movie.
And
the perfect movie.
And it cuts to the title card.
Duke Nukem Forever 2, Forever Harder.
Which reads, Oh God, I'm on the. I don't think I'm gonna top sink or swim, but I'm trying to. It cuts to the title card, which is. Damn it! I've lost it.
It's fine. It happens to the best of us, really.
This doesn't happen often, I swear. It never happened.
So that is a podcast.
End our podcast right
yeah,
now.
That's a podcast. That's the end of the podcast.
Follow me on Twitter at not_found_blog. Quint is at @originalquint. You don't want to follow anyone else, so I won't tell.
Nope, because there's no one else on this blog.
And Quint, you talk about the other stuff we have going for us.
Yeah, we've got some video content going. We've got Hitman Not Found. We've got a playthrough of Hitman Blood Money going on. We might have some other stuff coming soon with video content. I have a couple more episodes to put up for Hitman, but we are in the home stretch as it comes to Hitman Blood Money, and
also
after that
another series of videos we've recorded the first episode of.
Yes, yes, that is true. That is true. That will come up after Hitman.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to finish out Hitman, and then we're going to get this surprise video series, see how people like
it. I will give you a hint. It will probably take longer than Hitman.
It will take a lot longer than Hitman, but it might be the best greatest. Thing ever. It's the greatest thing ever. So, anyway, that is it for Error Report. And
I came up with the title, by the way. So he's hugging her, right, after hitting the alarm clock. And the title card comes up, and it's, I don't mean to alarm you.
Boom. That's
Inception
terrible.
Noise.
That's a terrible title. So, so bug the other guys on Twitter to get back on this podcast. You know what? Fuck them. No, this is totally fine.
It's totally fine. We can do this every week.
Yeah. we'll just consistently create better, Duke Nukem Forever 2 puns.
Forever harder.
Forever. Can't believe. I gotta write that now.
Okay, so the fourth alternate ending,
no.
They stuff her, but she starts getting like really really firm, like the cotton starts packing together.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is disgusting. And by the end of it, she's really hard. And then the title is forever hard.
Harder. Forever hard. It's terrible. Sounds like a porn.
Gold!
We've crafted probably the worst movie idea.
Movie magic.
It is the worst thing.
Get back to me, Scorsese.
8.5 my ass. It's forever hard.
8.5 2.
Forever.
8.5 to 9.
Oh, thank you, podcast. You know, I mean, it's really just the inception of podcast intros and exits.
That's true. Gotta kick us out.
Wow.